Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Saturday, July the 31st, 6 months from the military coup in Myanmar, its people are struggling with poverty, displacement, and a third surge of COVID-19. The embattled Belarusian president says he may invite Russian troops into the country to ensure security. And African church leaders appeal for unity and communion to overcome divisions and confront new challenges facing the continent. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Sunday, August the 1st, marks 6 months since the military coup in Myanmar that has thrown the impoverished nation into a spiralling crisis with serious political, socio-economic, human rights and humanitarian repercussions on the people. Despite the worsening humanitarian situation, the growing numbers of displaced people, a food crisis and a surge in COVID-19 infections, the United Nations has pledged its continued solidarity and presence with the population. Robin Gomes has more.
The situation in the country is characterized now by instability and a deteriorating socio-economic and security situation. And to add to that, we have a raging third wave of COVID-19, said UN's acting humanitarian and resident coordinator Ramanathan Balakrishnan. Talking to UN News, he explained how people have been severely impacted across the country since the military junta overthrew Myanmar leader Aung San Suu Kyi and her elected government on February the 1st, highlighting the ongoing nature of armed resistance to the military in several ethnic minority areas, including in the states of Shan, Chin and Kachin. The UN's top aid officials said that more than 200,000 people had been uprooted from their homes there to date. Prior to the coup, Rakhine State already had some 1 million in urgent need of help. This number has only swelled, Balakrishnan lamented. More widely, following the coup, an additional 2 million were identified as those in urgent need of humanitarian aid, and those were largely in the urban areas of Yangon and Mandalay, he said. The intensification of clashes and the worsening socio-economic situation was pushing tens of thousands of people into a humanitarian space every day. Balakrishnan explained that an increase in the price of basic commodities has led to a reduction of nutrition value of the food basket that people usually take as they substitute their regular food with cheaper, more readily available items. In this regard, the UN's priorities include ensuring that millions of people do not fall further into hunger. The country's health system is under extreme pressure because of the coronavirus crisis, as well as a civil disobedience movement by some health professionals opposed to the junta, which has disrupted even basic services across the country. Despite the worst situation, the UN has pledged its solidarity and closeness with the people and their desire for democracy. The UN will continue to call out human rights violations and is committed to stay and deliver life-saving humanitarian assistance to the people of Myanmar, in addition to sending the COVID-19 response, Balakrishnan said. I am Robin Gomes.
Violence has surged across Afghanistan since early May, when the Taliban launched a sweeping offensive as the US-led foreign forces began a final withdrawal, which is now almost complete. Fighting is reportedly raging around three major cities in southern and western Afghanistan as Taliban militants seek to seize them from government forces. Taliban fighters have reportedly entered parts of Herat, Lashkar Gah and Kandahar. They have made rapid gains in rural areas since it was announced almost all foreign troops would go by September. But the fate of these key cities could be crucial amid fears of a humanitarian crisis and how long government forces will be able to hold out. The fundamentalist Islamist militia is already thought to have captured up to half of all Afghanistan's territory, including lucrative border crossings with Iran and Pakistan. Speaking at the midday briefing at UN headquarters in New York, Eri Kaneko, associate spokesperson for the Secretary General, updated journalists on several issues and situations in countries around the world, including the humanitarian crisis in Afghanistan.
Our humanitarian colleagues today warned of the alarming increase in civilian casualties and injuries, including women and children in Kandahar. Fighting has also been reported in Nangarhar province and in new areas in the northeast province of Kunar, where 20,000 people were displaced. We, along with our partners, are assessing needs in these regions. In Kandahar last week, some 1,800 internally displaced people received assistance such as food and relief items. In Kunar, urgent needs include food, water, shelter, and health services. Our humanitarian colleagues also said that scores of people have died following severe flooding in the hard-to-reach eastern Kamdesh district. The Afghan Red Crescent Society, the only organization with access to Kamdesh, is sending a mobile health team and will provide temporary shelter. The UN is negotiating access with a non-state armed group and will provide medical supplies, food, and relief items. Afghan authorities will mobilize additional support from Kabul. Humanitarian partners in Afghanistan need $1.3 billion to help nearly 16 million people in 2021, but only 38% of the required funding has been received to date.
Eri Kaneko also confirmed the United Nations intends to maintain its presence in Afghanistan.
The United Nations has no intention of leaving Afghanistan. Our mission is still there. It's still active. Regarding security, we have security in place, but beyond that, as I'm sure you can understand, we can't provide any specific security details to you. So it's a political mission. It's no longer a peacekeeping mission. Of course, we have continued to call for the protection of human rights of women. We know we've said countless times that the deterioration of the security condition is, you know, only worsening the plight of women and girls in the country. So we will continue to speak out.
And that was Eri Kaneko, Associate Spokesperson for the UN Secretary General, speaking there about the situation in Afghanistan. The president of Belarus says he is ready to invite Russian troops into his country if such a move is necessary for the security of both Belarus and Russia. But, as Stefan Boss reports, the comments by Alexander Lukashenko are due to raise tensions with the international community.
Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko warned he would not hesitate to invite Russian troops amid ongoing protests against his leadership. He claims Western powers backed the rallies. However, Lukashenko stressed there was no need for Russian forces now. Russia and Belarus have maintained close military and economic ties. The military cooperation between the two neighbors comes even as Western countries have imposed sanctions on Belarus after Lukashenko cracked down on mass dissent. The demonstrations broke out after a contested presidential election last year that Lukashenko claims he won. Lukashenko said Belarus had coped with the unrest without any external forces and could muster around 500,000 security personnel fast. He makes clear there is absolutely no need for Russian forces today. The president explains that even after the unrest in August last year, following the disputed vote, he did not send any troops from Russia, Ukraine, or other countries. He adds, "We dealt with this problem ourselves." But Lukashenko also said in published comments that if it is not enough, Russian armed forces will be introduced. He added, "If it is necessary, we will not hesitate." Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said Belarus had made no approach requesting troops. However, he made clear that Minsk would need to submit a formal request before any Russian troops could be deployed. But a suggestion by President Lukashenko that he considers Russian military support was due to increased anxiety among his political opponents and in Western countries. Following last year's disputed election, Belarus detained thousands of protesters. At times, security forces could be seen beating demonstrators, and rights groups claim hundreds were abused or tortured in detention. Minsk has denied the allegations. However, nearly all prominent opposition figures are now in jail or exile. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
Hundreds of Malaysians staged an anti-government protest on Saturday in defiance of a ban on public gatherings under coronavirus curbs. The demonstrators are demanding the embattled Prime Minister resign. It was the first sizable demonstration in Malaysia for some time, but anger is growing at the government's handling of the coronavirus outbreak, which is escalating despite a lockdown, and Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin's attempts to keep his crisis-riven administration in power. And finally, African nations are in dire need of unity and communion as the continent faces a host of difficulties stemming from the pandemic, or the ongoing conflicts and economic downfall. This appeal came in a message from the leadership of the Symposium of Episcopal Conferences of Africa and Madagascar, known as SECOM. As Thaddeus Jones reports, the bishops called for unity in order to face the daunting challenges facing the continent and islands today in the annual message for SECOM Day, to be marked this year on Sunday, August the 1st.
The leadership of the Symposium of Episcopal Conferences of Africa and Madagascar, or SECOM, have passionately appealed to the faithful to avoid divisions and embrace an inclusive culture that is rooted in Christ. The appeal came in a goodwill message to the people of God for the July 29 and August 1st annual celebration of SECOM Day. Eschew anything that divides us, the message writes, and imbibe everything that puts God first in our lives and nurtures true brotherhood and sisterhood throughout the continent and the islands, the message writes. Established in 2013, SECOM Day commemorates the official establishment of the Symposium of Episcopal Conferences of Africa and Madagascar back on July 29, 1969, in the presence of Pope Paul VI during his apostolic journey to Uganda. SECOM Day reminds us of our oneness with God and with each other in Jesus Christ, which transcends all our differences and puts them in the proper perspective. Cardinal Philippe Ouedraogo, Archbishop of Ouagadougou and President of the Symposium, emphasizes in the message signed by him, "At a time marked by conflicts, divisions, and violence in Africa, the invitation is to promote an inclusive culture and worldview rooted in Christ. This perspective has always animated SECOM, and all the bishops of the continent have a shared responsibility for it," the message notes. "It's also the meaning of the day, which aims to offer African Catholics the opportunity to support its mission. Our collective interest in and sacrifices for the symposium are necessary to achieve its goals," the message writes. The cardinal then encourages in particular the bishops to promote communion and to interact to implement in their local churches the Kampala document, the pastoral exhortation issued in January, where SECOM urges a renewed and proactive missionary commitment across the continent. In this regard, the symposium expresses gratitude to brother bishops, the clergy, consecrated persons, and lay members of the Church Family of God in Africa and the islands for their commitment to evangelization in all its forms, in spite of the prevailing trials on different fronts. Traditionally celebrated on July 29th, SECOM Day is moved to the following Sunday when the date falls on a weekday, as is the case this year. On Sunday, August 1st, Cardinal Philippe Ouedraogo will lead the main Eucharistic celebration, but other masses are scheduled in all the churches and parishes across the continent. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. You can join us tomorrow at the same time for more. You can also visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. My thanks go to Roberto Colangeli in studio in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.